The topic tonight is Amir al-Akum. And before the halachic details, I want to explore what the varied reasons for the legislation of Amir al-Akum are. And there's a true some sefer about it. Some sefer explores it at length, Kedarka Bakaydish, all the ins and outs. We'll go from the simplest to the most complex of the reasons. The simplest reason of all is that if I'm involved with a non-Jew doing something for me on Shabbos, maybe I'll come to do it myself. That's, I think, the simplest of the reasons. And so Chazal did not want us to be involved in these type of things, because if I am, I may come to assist along the way myself. I think that's the simplest of the reasons. There's a second reason, and that second reason is a molomdisha reason, in effect, and that has to do with the fact we have in the Sukkim in Yeshaya, in Toshim Shabbos Rak Lecho, Asos Chafetzecho B'Yom Kotshi, the post against Mimzo Chafetzecho B'Davar Dover. Mimzo Chafetzecho, one should not be involved in one's business on Shabbos, and Davar Dover certainly includes not talking about the things one is not supposed to do on Shabbos. It may include more than that. You look in Tosis, they can kufyud gimel omid beis. Tosis wonders why we need v'davar dover. It's really included in mimtzo cheftzicha l'cher. So Tosis has even another step, but that step is beyond what is the purviews of the shir. Not involved in this series. So there's an iser of davar dover. If I can't do it on Shabbos, I may not talk about it on Shabbos. So if I go over to a non-Jew and I say, please put on the lights, so I violated davar dover. I'm talking about something that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. The third reason, and that's really the most lomdisha reason of all, we have a general principle in Shas that agency, shlichus, can only involve Jews. Ma'atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem b'nei bris. Just as you have to be members of the covenant at Wagemalt and part of the bris of Klal Yisrael, your shliach also has to be ben bris. So an Akum, a non-Jew, may not perform shlichus. It doesn't work. It's not an iser. It's a metzias. It just doesn't work. The Torah does not recognize him as a shliach. So from that standpoint, I should be able to ask a non-Jew to do melacha for me. Well, he doesn't represent me. He's not my shliach. So there are rishonim that state that here is a notion of yesh shlichus l'chumra, that Chazal and the Chumra side, on the more stringent side, to hold me accountable, considered at times as if there is shlichus. And consequently, when the non-Jew acts on my behalf on Shabbos, so in a certain measure, it's as if I did it myself. It's not Chilul Shabbos, not the real Chilul Shabbos, but nevertheless, I'm accountable for it. And consequently, that's the third reason I may not ask a non-Jew to act on my behalf. Now, there's some sort of traces, differences between the different reasons. Now, if you say that the Iser, now the Beis Yosef has a Shiloh, what happens if I go to the non-Jew on Erev Shabbos and I tell him, listen, tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the morning, I need you to do this and this for me. May I do so? So the Beis Yosef paskens that you can't. And this is the Halacha L'Maaser. So the Chassam Sofer says, if you were coming merely from the standpoint of a Davar Dover, this wouldn't hold. I didn't speak about it on Shabbos, so there's no what's the Issa. The guy acting on Shabbos, fine. But if we could use the other reasons of Shlichus, where I may come to do get involved in it myself, so then, even if I asked them on Erev Shabbos, it would be Osir on Shabbos. So that's one example of differences which may exist between the different reasons, that Davar Dover wouldn't apply if it was done on Erev Shabbos, and Shlichus L'Chumro would apply, even if I asked them to do it, I asked them on Erev Shabbos to do it on Shabbos. So there are nafkaminas, there are differences between the varied reasons.
Could there be a fourth reason, Zozo,
It could be, maybe. It could be a reason to. It may be. It may parallel, really, part of the first reason. In other words, since it's a zilzul, I may come to do it. But it's, you know, in that sphere. It could be construed as a zilzul of Shabbos. There is a notion, which I don't want to go into now, according to the Ramban, and the Ritva, the Ramban and Chumash, and the Ritva and Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that there is a notion of Amir La'akum, which is also Midoraisa too. But that's a whole different sphere. That's not the subject of tonight's share. I'm not getting involved in that. That's an Well, there is certain cases it may involve a deraisa, whatever. But that's, I said, beyond what I want to go into in tonight's share. That's a whole different subject. With also a Chubas Chasam Sofer there as a kasha, whatever. It's an answer, Baz Hashem, it's kasha. But that's not for here and now. So these are the basic reasons that we have Amir La'akum. That Amir La'akum is banned. Now it can't only be because of a Dabar Dover. It because the Gemara has a Shaila, which it really does not succeed in settling fully in Bab Metzia. Do we say Amir La'akum Shavuos only on Shabbos or for Shori Surei HaTorah too? And the Gemara is equivocal. The Gemara brings Rias, the Gemara Shlomo refutes the Rias. So what to make of this? Is it a suffix at the end? Is the Psak, the general halacha seems to assume that there is Amir La'akum and Kol HaTorah Kula, but not all Rishonim necessarily agree to that conclusion. But that's the general. Now that can't be because of a Dabar Dover. A Dabar Dover is a particular halacha and Huchel Shabbos. There would have to be some other reason. Okay, so that's one of the questions, just in what the reasons for Amir La'akum are. And it could even be that that's part and parcel of part of the Gemara Shiloh, what the reason for Amir La'akum is. In other words, if it's also because of Dabar Dover, it's only on Shabbos. If it's also for one of the other reasons, it would apply to Kol Shori Suri HaTorah. It could be that we can construe the Gemara's Iboyim B'Metzia is itself raising this issue of what the varied, you know, it's Stodim of the Shiloh. Now, this is a halacha which it many times in history has been more honored in the breach than in the observance. You know, the Shabbos Goy is a lot more famous than the Easter of Amir La'akum. And there was someone that runs, he's a non-firm person, and he's involved, he has a kosher establishment, and he was reprimanded because they were doing construction on his building on Shabbos. So he said to his rabbi, he said, I hired Muslims to do the job, there were no Jews here. So he told him, you can't do construction on Shabbos. So he says, but okay, so I'll have the plumber come and work inside. He told him, no go. He said, listen, I didn't know that you became the rabbi this past week that decided, you know, what goes and what doesn't go. So the guy said, fine, he didn't know, he won't do it again. But as I said, the Shabbos guy is a lot better known than the Easter of Amir La'akum. And the Shabbos Goy, the notion of the Shabbos Goy was of limited function in reality, according to the halacha. But in an era before there were widespread, you know, time clocks that we have today, you know, people also they had very small apartments, and they probably needed the lights to be shut off Friday night, so they would be able to sleep. It wasn't that they didn't have the luxury of the lights to stay on the whole night in the dining room, even if they could afford a few pennies for the electric, which was also a shaila if they had the money for it. But a lot of times people slept in the room where they ate also in those years. My mother, Allah Shalom, told me that what was the Shabbos clock in their house? There were no Shabbos clocks. And you had a switch that just went up and down. So they had an alarm clock, a wind-up alarm clock, and they took a string and tied it to the switch, and they tied it to the piece in the, I mean, a hole, I guess, and they tied it to the piece in the back of the alarm clock. And when the time came, the alarm would go off, and it winds and winds and winds. It would wind up the string until it put off the light. But some Friday nights, the string slipped past the edge, and that's it. It didn't wind up properly, and the light stayed on the whole night when I had to sleep, you know. But that's what, you know, so the Shabbos guy, I remember, there was a Hispanic man that I was friendly with. He was much, much older than I was. And he grew up on the East Side. And he says, yeah, when I was lived in the East Side, he says, I was a Shabbos guy. I went around, you know, I got a they'd give me after Shabbos a couple of pennies for coming by, you know, to taking care of their problem. And I used to go around, you know, on Shabbos and take care of the Jewish people. So we need, though, to know what the halachic parameters are.
Besides an erlachim, Dabar Dabar includes any type of speaking out directly in malacha?
About doing a malacha, yeah, talking about doing a malacha.
I'm going to drive to labor after Shabbat.
Yes, that's also, yeah.
That's because you don't necessarily see people being smart on it, but that's 100%.
That's, if you can't do it on Shabbos, you may not speak about doing it on Shabbat.
You can say, I'm going to labor.
Yes. Why can you say you're going to labor? Because it's hypothetically possible that the wouldn't do, and it may even be true that it's not chutz l'tchum. You could have, you know, little watchman's booths, a little huts along the way, and it wouldn't be chutz l'tchum, so you could go there. So Mela, since it's conceivable to go there on Shabbos Beheter, so it's not nichlal in the Isser of Amir al-Akam. So there were a couple of different scenarios. Pikuach nefesh, I don't want to deal with. It's always, you know, when you always people, oh, pikuach nefesh. That's not, you know, pikuach nefesh, you can ask a Jew too. So you don't need a heter from Amir al-Akam for pikuach nefesh. Now, pikuach nefesh is not the subject we talk about when we want to talk about the heterim on Shabbos. Pikuach nefesh is basically doicha kol ha-Torah kulo with a few rare exceptions. So the broadest heter would be to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Raisa on Shabbos. That is what's muskum, and that's what's not muskum. I mean, there's what is agreed to the halacha, and what's an extreme controversy in halacha. What's clearly mutter in this area is if there's a chayla shein by sakona, someone is ill, he's not dangerously ill, and whatever needs he has on Shabbos, we can ask a non-Jew to do any and all malachas on his behalf. That's a clear, simple din and simen shin chof ches. So that's the broadest heter that there is, the tzer chayli. We can ask a non-Jew to do a malacha d'raisa. Now, included in chayla, in the end of Reish Nun Gimel, the Rama includes, get our kol chayla meitzel tzino. If it's a wintry night, or a wintry Shabbos, and the heat goes off in your house, you can have a non-Jew do a malacha d'raisa to get the heat going again on Shabbos. Why? Because I call chayla meitzel tzino. Everyone is considered a chayla when it comes to tzino, because if you don't get the heat back on, people are going to become sick. So the heter for a chayla applies to a case where the steam is down. So he called the place Friday afternoon and they came and they're still working, you know, Friday night. It's fine. Assuming that it's very cold. If it's a springish type of day and, you know, the lack of heat is not significant, so then you're not supposed to have it fixed on Shabbos. You're supposed to wait till after Shabbos. So that's what's muskum. I mean, the Shas does record a case that for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the amount of getting allowed Amir al-Akam, for a non-Jew to register a deed in a non-Jewish court, they allowed him to write it up and under on Shabbos, because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so there was a particular heter that we find in Shas too.
When you have this heter, you don't have to, you can say it straight out.
Straight out, yes. Now, there is a case in the Gemara in Erevin, and the case is extremely obscure, that they had a non-Jew do a malocha, and the whole is a whole shy, but the Gemara is very, very obscure. The Gemara is very sketchy about the facts surrounding them. So what were we talking? That it was the Tzarech Mila, and the Tzarech Mila, Mila is a special mitzvah, maybe. There's all types of shotim in this Gemara in Erevin. The Balaita learned shot in the Gemara in Erevin that it had to do that there was a Dvar mitzvah. And for the purpose of a Dvar mitzvah, it's mutter to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha deraisa. That's the Shitas Balaiter. It's recorded by the Ramah, if I recall correctly, in Siman Reish Ayin Vov. And this Ramah is, of course, celebra. The Chabad Chaim brings many of the Achroinim that came after the Ramah, who are quite vociferous that the Shita of the Balaiter is a Das Yochid, and that Lahalocha one should not rely upon this particular view. And to the largest extent, that's what we do. We don't follow this Balaita. But the Balaita, I guess especially because the Ramah brought him Lahalocha, he made it into the books as Halocha Lemaisa. Where do we use it? We use it for Tzorche Rabim. Tzorche Rabim could mean if the Eruv falls down on Shabbos, and people are going to carry, because there's no way to put out that have everyone in the community know that the Erev is down on Shabbos. So we're allowed to ask a non-Jew to fix the Erev on Shabbos. So that's a case where we allow Malocha D'Raisa. In a Beis HaKnesses, if there's something that needs to be done in a shul, to allow the Rabbim to be able to daven, to learn, that's also Tzorche Rabbim. So for some reason we came here and the electric was down, went off, we can call in a non-Jew, and it's happened to fiddle around and get the electric going again. Because it's Tzorche Rabbah. Rav Henkin records this in Eidus Yisrael, this psak. So this is the uses that we make of the Balaita. When it serves Tzorche Rabbim, the Tzorche Rabbim is saying on it.
Is there a field between stam? I mean, that's clear. That's preventing everyone from doing
isser.
Is that different than a
tzorche rabim,
just food for everyone?
Okay. Where you draw the line, what becomes tzorche rabim when you're dealing with feeding people is a whole different story.
For example,
the
eruv, that's preventing a lot of
isurim. Yeah, but the Rav Henkin applies it to having to put, I think, putting the lights on and off in shul on Shabbos, which was common. You know, in my youth, it was still common.
They turned them on again for Mincha.
Yeah.
Yeah,
listen, you know, the money did not grow on trees as it does today, relatively. Well, people were very, very careful. It was not an easy time, you know, from a financial sense. So, these are the heterim when one could do the raises. Now, when could one do an Issa de Rabbanon? Meaning to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa de Rabbanon. So here we find in the Shulchan Aruch discusses three dinim. One is the Tzorche Mitzvah. The Tzorech Mitzvah, we could ask a non-Jew to do an Issa de Rabbanon. So let's say, so in the shul, I could even ask the non-Jew, we have two types of lights here. We have lights which appear to be incandescent. I don't know if they are, but they appear to be incandescent spotlights. And as I say, I don't know. You can't know, it's hard to know. Maybe they're LEDs, but I think some of them are incandescence, and we clearly have the overhead ones which are clearly not incandescence. Now, an incandescent is a deraisa. The non incandescence are also midrabbanan, not also midrabbanan. So, in the shul, if we needed it, we could ask the non-Jew even to put on lights which would involve anisa d'raisa and putting them on. But let's say the problem wasn't in shul, it was in my own house. I want to learn. and all the lights went out. For whatever reason. You know, once it happened to one of the members in the shul. On Rosh Hashanah, they hired a babysitter. They went to shul. The babysitter went around the house and all types of lights were on. He says, what a waste of money. So they closed every light in sight, in the bathroom, in the everything, the kitchen, they closed all the lights. Only one light they didn't close was a light that was on a Shabbos clock. So it was off then, so they didn't realize they have to close it. Oh, that's the only light that they left on. Boom, all of a sudden, it comes night, there's one light in the house. Now I want to learn, and I don't have a place to learn, it's dark. So I could ask a non-Jew to put on a fluorescent for me. Even if there's some wire in there that turns red hot, it's not the kavon of the non-Jew. And the kavon of the non-Jew is for the light that comes out. That's, you know, sinishken maisa. It's not an isa deraisa, asking him to do an isa deraisa. It's incidental to what he's doing. His kavon is to have that light come from here. The LEDs are called, all of these new modern lights, older abundance. You know, what makes a light an incandescent derisa? The Rambam Paskins and Hilchos Shabbos, that if you take a piece of metal and you put it in a fire and it turns red hot, that's considered a maver. You are violated maver, making an eish on Shabbos. The Magen Mishnah says it stems. There are two places in Shas which use the terminology gachela shel matechas, a coal made of metal. So the Magen Mishnah says that's the Rambam's raya to this din. So this was what Reb Chaim Oizer Zatzal articulated is the reason that you will not allow to put on the lights on Shabbos. And you know this we take matter of factly today, but this was a great deal of ferment. When this idea arrived in the world, is this really is not an ish? So is it deraisa? Is it not deraisa? And Reb Chaim Oizer wanted to underscore the fact that it's an ish. So on Motzei Shabbos, he used to make the Bar Moray ish on an electric light. Had to be a clear bulb, non-frosted. But he made Bar Moray ish on Motzei Shabbos on the electric light to be mafarsed to all the Klal Yisrael that this is no chumras. This is the din. This is an ish. Right? The Chazon Ish added another reason, because the Chazon Ish, because Reb Chaim Oizer's reason does not apply to electricity, which doesn't have a filament, an element that turns red hot. So let's say you put on your electric fan on Shabbos. Why is that also? So Reb Chaim Oizer wrote a letter. I saw the letter. There's a form to her that's called Igris. That are not in the Achayez, but there are letters of Reb Chaim Oizer. And he says it's some type of Eish Midor Abonon, he calls it. That's his view, that's what he wrote. The Chazon Ish was Mechadish. The way I understand the Chazon Ish, I mean, everyone knows the Chazon Ish, and it's also because of Makkah B'Patish. But I don't believe the Makkah B'Patish is in the switch in and of itself. Because that's also the kach, it's made to be put on and off. It's not shayach hamakab patish on that. The chayr. I believe what the Chazon Ish meant was in closing the circuit, making the circuit. Right now there's no circuit. Now when you close the circuit, there is a circuit of electricity. The circuit is a makab patish. That's what I think that the Chazon Ish meant. So this was, according to the Chazon Ish, is the biggest reason that you can't use all types of electrical appliances on Shabbos. The Mamash also with the rice, according to him.
But, so
according to him, it applies to LEDs too, yeah. I say the Midrabonon because of the fact that overwhelmingly Gdolei Yisrael of the 20th century did not agree. Okay, but starting off with the Achiezer, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Henkin, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Yoshev. Rav Yoshev, I asked Rav Yoshev, and it came up once in conversation, incidentally, because he told me a certain thing is mutter on Yom Tov. So he says, on Shabbos, he can't do it, though. So that was my opportunity. I asked him, so why does the rope hold? You can't, you know, put it on, you do it on Shabbos. So he said it's some type of noilat. It's a type of noilat, using the electric on Shabbos. But he also said, so six of the major poskim of the 20th century that did not agree that it's a deraisa. And particularly that two of them were together more of the Asra here in America, Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe, and certainly Rav Yaakov as well. So three of them. So certainly he'll be here in Chutz Loretz. This is our Mahalach. You know, those in Eretz Yisrael that want to follow the Chazon Ish. So listen, I'm myself a chassid of the Chazon Ish, but Chazon Ish was more of the Asra in Eretz Yisrael, but he was not more of the Asra of America. So this, if I want to learn in my house and I have an LED bulb or a fluorescent, so that would be a derabbanan. So I can ask a non-Jew to do what we call shvus to shvus. I ask a non-Jew to do a malacha derabbanan for the sake of a mitzvah. That's permissible on Shabbos, but not an isa deraisa. So that's case number one.
Is that indirect or is that direct?
That's direct. Now we'll come to indirect soon.
So, Mitzvah, can you expand
into
just sitting in a lit house? Even if somebody wasn't learning,
maybe, I don't know. It's a Shiloh. I'm not 100% sanguine on that, so listen, just learn a little bit. But to think about it, I mean, Chazal enacted the whole Takona of Neiris was because of Shalom Bayis. And Shalom is certainly a major thing. Now, the second heter for Amir al-Akam is, we say, Litzarach Godel, some great need that emerged, something that, you know, happened and created a very urgent need. And I could solve it by an Issa Derabbanan, by asking a non-Jew that is to do an Issa Derabbanan. Now, it could be that so all of a sudden a flood broke loose and is going to do all types of damage and whatever, and I have to ask a non-Jew to do some Issa Derabbanan, you know, to stop it. I'd be allowed to do so. Let's say I needed a plug to plug up the leak, and the plug has to come from a place where there's no Erev. It's not a Rishu Sarabim, but it's another building where there's no Erev. So I'm asking a non-Jew to do an Issa Derabbanan for me for the sake of preventing some huge hefset. That's a Tzarach Godel. So that's the least defined. It's clear from the Chofetz Chaim that financial loss, heavy financial loss, is also considered a Tzarach Godel. Then we come to another category, which is a category that we call Miktsas Chayli. Means a person, he's uncomfortable, he's not feeling so well. Is he sick? No, he's not sick. By no yardstick would we declare him sick. He's not so overwhelmed by his illness, he's not thrown into bed, he's not dysfunctional because of it, not severe pain. But he's not feeling the greatest. So this is what we call a Miktsas Chayli. He's not a full-fledged chayli, but he's not feeling the greatest. So we could ask a non-Jew to do an Issa Derabbanan for him. Let's say he's cold. In the same scenario we had, so his neighbor across the way, in the next apartment building, but where you don't have to go through the street, has extra blankets. So a non-Jew can, and there's no Erev, so a non-Jew can bring the blankets across the place where there's no Erev, a Chotzer Sheinim Urv, so to make him more comfortable on Shabbos, because he's a Miktsas Chayli. So for a Miktsas Chayli, we also allow Shvus to Shvus, asking for a non-Jew to do an Iser Derabbanan. So those are basically the cases. Now we touched upon it, that Ben Ashmoshes also, I can ask a non-Jew for the sake of a mitzvah to do a melocha on Shabbos, do a melocha during Ben Ashmoshes. That's also construed, I guess, because it's a suffix, whatever, it's some form of chazal vanat geyser, similar to this notion of shvuz de shvuz. If it's only a suffix, if it's also to ask a non-Jew, the chazal vanat geyser. Talked about that the other Friday night. Now, there's a whole Torah which emerged, and the truth of the matter is it was almost universally misunderstood, almost universally misunderstood, and rarely articulated, even by those that understood it for whatever reason. It just never connected with the public consciousness. And the question is, can I hint to a non-Jew to do malocha? Now the notion is there's no amir al-akam, because I'm not saying anything to him. So forget what constitutes a hint and what's considered, that's another Torah. But can I ask a non-Jew, hint to a non-Jew, to do a malocha for me on Shabbos? So, you know, the whole world knows you can hint to a non-Jew. So that was all fine and dandy, but I got stuck on a steer on the Shulchan Aruch. And this is one of my favorite kashas in Shulchan Aruch. And I asked it to many, and it had no answer for me. Until I came to Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal and Rabbi Scheinberg Zatzal, and both of them gave me the same answer. And I have a sefer upstairs, which in fact was, very interestingly, it was published during the Second World War in Hungary, somewhere around circa 1933, was actually published, a sefer, by a dayan in Hungary. And he also talks about, in the back of the sefer, he talks about this kasha. And this is one of the answers, in fact, that he gives to this shaila too. So we have, on one end, the Shulchan Aruch says, hinting is mutter. There's another place in the Shulchan Aruch which says the following. If a non-Jew comes into my house on Shabbos and he wants to do malocha without my asking him anything, he just walks in and he says, you know, oh, the lights are off, it's too dark here. And he wants to go over to the light switch and put the lights on. I didn't ask him anything. So the halacha is I have to tell him not to do it. And if he insists upon doing it, the halacha is I have to tell him, listen, Bob, the door is over there. Either you live by the house rules or there's the door. So here, I didn't ask him anything. He came on his own. And I have to tell him not to do it. And if he refuses to listen to me, I have to show him the door. And then you turn around and tell me I could go and say, Bob, you know, dark in here. Oh. So, yeah. The Beforshe HaShulchan Aruch quoted Rashi in Masechet Avodah Zarah on this latter halacha, that the reason for this din is because of Mechsei Keshlucha, that anything which takes place in my house, the Morgan Aram in fact quotes this, that anything which takes place in my house, so it looks like it's done under my aegis, under my authority, you know, my house is not a hefker that anyone could just walk in off the street and do what they want. So if you see somebody working or somebody's painting in the house, so why is he painting there? Because he just marched in on his own, or the Balabayas asked him to come? What do you think? So it looks like Mechsei Keshlucha that I put him up to it. So how can you possibly reconcile these two things? There's one thing of being nena from the Malacha after the fact. That's one step. And there are the Al-Gidorim, when I can be nena, when I can't. But forgetting being nena, in the actual act of the malocha itself, it's mechsei keshlucha should be osur. Forgetting about being nena from this malocha. So this is the problem that I had. And I had this for a very long time. And when I met up with Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal, to him there were no surprises. He'd been there, considered it, and answered it long before you ever thought of the question. So, Rebbe told me, he says, Mechsik Shlucho, we're not the ones that draw the yardstick on what's Mechsik Shlucho. Mechsik Shlucho was how Chazal, what their perspective was. And he said, from their perspective, he said the following. And Rav Scheinberg's Etzal told me the same thing. The halacha says, if a non-Jew puts on the lights in this room, he did it, and he ran out. He ran in, he put the lights on, and he ran out of the building. Can I benefit from those lights on Shabbos? So the halacha says the following. That if it was totally dark in here, and I couldn't see anything, and now I'm able to see because of the lights, then it's also, I'm not a letter, then it's a full-fledged benefit. But let's say it was a minimal amount of light, enough, in fact, that I could read, but it was difficult to read, and it's a mechayet to have more light, then it's mutter. That's a distinction that the halacha makes. So what both of these Gdolei Olam did was, they said that Chazal only considered it mechzik shlucho in a case when there was an absolute benefit. So then it's clear cut that you're the one that's behind it. If there's only a partial benefit, Chazal did not, were not geyser because of mechzik shlucho. I guess because it's not muchrach, it's your shliach. Maybe, a good chance it is, but it's still not clear cut. So they were not geyser in that case. So Hayyotim calls is that something which you totally don't have availability or access to on Shabbos, and through the hinting the non-Jew is going to do some type of maloch and make it accessible to me, so I'm going to have two problems with it. I'll have a problem of taking benefit from it, and I'll have a problem with having them do the act in the first place. So when once one considers that as the yardstick by which to judge hinting, so a lot of cases of hinting just don't work anymore. So that's a whole different perspective when one's allowed to hint to an non-Jew. It's only when relatively that particular benefit I can get on Shabbos, even if the guy wouldn't do the malocha for me. But if I totally can't get it, then it's mechzik shlucha. So Mameila, this is a halacha which is very, very unknown.
So according to the first reason, which from the beginning of this year, you might come to do it, so do we only say that when it's a total gain?
Maybe the same reason. The same reason that wouldn't, that the Boots consider that mechzik shlucha. You're not so, you don't feel so compelled. Your back is not against the wall.
Even in the case of absolute benefit, if the guy was partially doing it for his own hano,
that's a whole problem. When, how much he has to do it for his hano and your hano, that's a complicated subject. It's also not for now.
Also, why isn't the stam hakasha by that case? To tell a guy not to do a malacha, even if you don't say the word, like, isn't there a problem with if a guy asks, should I turn the light on? You can't say yes, because that's like a direct statement.
Yes.
So isn't it the same problem to say no, don't do that?
No, we didn't do a malacha. I just
you're saying, no, don't do that malacha.
So he didn't do a malacha.
You're saying the words. Doing
that's fun. I know. I'm saying not to do a malacha.
If
not.
If I say I will not drive, I'm not.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Mentioning the word driving.
No, that's not the question. He's saying you're doing a malacha. If I say I'm not doing a malacha, that's what Shabbos is about. Not doing malachas. So that's fine.
Would that be a way to like beat the system in Remiza just by saying the word, not like, don't do this, but then he, I guess, maybe sort of thought they shouldn't do that.
I don't know, it depends. Listen, yeah, you need a mazel that the guy has to be swift.
Don't say anything that way, just by saying don't form.
Yeah.
And maybe it will cop that.
So, this is a general overview of Amir al-Akam on Shabbos. There are some details I wanted to add. Now, I can tell you the way I understand it. We assume that a shvus to shvus is mutter on Shabbos. So let's say now it's 90 degrees outside and the air conditioning went off, but didn't go on. So we could, I guess, would define that certainly is at least a tzarech gadol. But it's not, I'm not going to get sick from it. It's not that hot. It's not 110 degrees. It's not, Phoenix in the middle of the desert. But it is quite a significant need. It's quite uncomfortable. So good. So the halacha is, should be able to ask a non-Jew to do this halacha for me. It only involves an Issa Rabbanon putting on the air conditioner. So I should be able, so because of Shvus to Shvus, asking a non-Jew to do an Issa Rabbanon, but Mokum Tzarach Godel should be mutter. So to me, what follows from that, and I was surprised, but I don't want to go into further who, what, when, and where, but to my mind, so Mamela, now, let's say we'll construe the air conditioning as an absolute benefit that I couldn't access before. Okay. It didn't exist, it was off. It's like it's dark here, totally. To me, so what? Since it's mutter to ask a non-Jew, so why in the world would they make an Easter on benefiting from it? Doesn't make any sense. Why shouldn't I benefit from Meleches Akum? Because you're not supposed to ask him to do it on Shabbos. You're not supposed to have him do it for you on Shabbos. So there's a, we basically, what we're trying to do is discourage people from going down this route. Because even after you did it, we say you can't benefit from it. So then why should, what should I do it if I'm not going to be allowed to benefit from it? But in a case where the halacha articulates the fact that it's permissible to ask him, so what do I have to struggle for to find reasons why it's mutter to benefit from it? To me, you know, that's the way I understand it. To me, this is, you know, clear cut. Now, there's another shaila. This is a shaila that I long wanted to stay away from.
Yeah, so is that, you were saying that in relation to the question of
Ramiza? No, without Ramiza.
You don't
need. I can say, ask, and it's hot, very hot. I'll ask a non-Jew to put on the air conditioning. I don't know why not.
That's both in the shul and in your house?
In your house, too. It's 90 degrees. It's a tzarech godel. I don't know, coming to be matter because of tzarech rabim.
And is that indirect?
Direct. Direct. So I don't see, I can't see that it should be otherwise. Now, there is a shiloh that I always wanted to stay away from, but in the nature of the way business developed, and the business world developed, it became at times impossible to stay away from it. Which is the following. We say that I can ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Rabbanan. So I believe it's the Chavas Yor, who was Mechadish, that if I ask one non-Jew to ask another non-Jew, so that's also a shvus to shvus. And even though the second non-Jew will do a malacha deraisa, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a shvus to shvus. So I wanted to say, this is not, as I say, it's not mainstream psak. So I endeavored mightily to stay away from it. But what emerged, the nature of business, that the nature of business in two regards. In our community, in the non-Chassidic community, that is, we do not have a large amount of entrepreneurs. We have people that work in corporate America. So they're parts of big systems which they do not control. Number one. The next thing was the emergence of FedEx. With FedEx, it basically became possible to send to most of the world papers that they needed to get to send them out today. You have a phone conversation, send the papers out today, and the other party will get them tomorrow. Because of that, what we're able to do, that's really the problem why we suffer so much from email for that reason. It's because we're able to do it so quickly, we have to do it so quickly. And now that we have emails, so that's it, you know, it's gone to terrorists. And you called it today, you know, is it 15 minutes later, it's 10 minutes, it's 2 minutes, I don't know what to share anymore is that you have to respond to an email. But it's getting dizzier, more dizzy by the day. So what this created was the fact that many Jews were in a situation, on Erev Shabbos things happened. And they had either to satisfy their customers on the other side or to satisfy their own corporate structure or both, send out papers. Papers, goods, whatever. And they had to get there tomorrow. So they didn't have, it wasn't possible. They didn't even get the order early enough that if they did a rush job, they could get it there before Shabbos. It was impossible to get it there before Shabbos. And they couldn't wait till, they wouldn't wait till Monday for it. So this dynamic of the nature of employment and the rise of services like FedEx contributed to a necessity of getting things from point one to point two very, very quickly. And so I normally advise people to try to avoid winding up in this situation. But if you can't, if you're stuck, and the papers have to go out, so you can send them to a shipping company, because you're giving it to a driver, and he's going to someone else, is going to someone else. Who knows how many people are actually going to, you know, be involved with it before anybody does a malocha for you on Shabbos with it. So it's certainly going to be, from that standpoint, the shvus to shvus. But walking here, certainly a hefset godel is a person's parnosa. You know, they won't tolerate not getting this thing done. So it's a changing nature of the business world that made this shita much more important. Whereas, you know, years back, I wouldn't think of relying upon it, but when crunch time comes now, there's just no other way to go about it. So it's an important shita. You know, here in Kew Garden Hills, presently, it's hard to find a Shabbos guy. Very hard. Yeah. It's hard to find a Shabbos guy. You know, the best almost you could do. I once a woman came out in the night of Rosh Hashanah out of her house. And she had some party or something going there, so I asked if there were any non-Jews there. She says, non-Jews, I'm not religious, I'll do it for you. So I told her thanks and no thanks. I teased her, I said, I discriminate. So then what she told me, though, was a cruncher. She says, my daughter has a non-Jewish boyfriend, so he's leaving soon. He'll come by, I'll stop by your house and I'll take care of it. So it's hard. In Eretz Yisrael, they haven't many neighbors. They hire someone to sit in a certain place, a station. So if you have to, if you need a non-Jew to do a malocha, which is permissible, you can come and get him on Shabbos. So, you know, I guess Ashreinu Baruch Hashem that we, to the largest extent, you know, the environment in which we live in here is our own. And Shabbos is palpable here, Baruch Hashem, in Kew Garden Hills. You know, to me, it's the biggest Kiddush Hashem to go on Main Street on Shabbos. Businesses are all closed. I mean, it's Ad Kedei Kach that when Bloomberg was the mayor, so they closed down the meters on Saturday because nobody comes here on Saturday. And then they put on the meters for Sunday. Then they put an end to Sunday meters, so Baruch Hashem, so we have no meters Shabbos and Sunday here. Because we were historically always a place that the meters were off on Shabbos. So, Eilucha Kiddush Hashem Gadol Mizu. But it does make it more difficult in those times when we need a non-Jew. It's not so easy to find a non-Jew. It's a whole Isaac. So, this is a basic overview of Amir La'akam on Shabbos. And maybe we'll be Zeicha to live within the bounds of the Halacha. And to add, that is another aspect of Ashmira Shabbos. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.